Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our video picks for this week include the winner of the Davos Economic Forum YouTube video contest. Bet you didn't know they had one at Davos. See the winning video. It's pretty challenging, from 24-year-old Pablo Camacho of Colombia, calling for a professional code of ethics for CEOs like doctors and lawyers have. Let's see if Timothy Geithner proposes anything that tough in the speech we're about to play. Go to WNYC.org/video for our weekly picks. And now we are going to start our coverage of the TARP II announcement from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. He's been giving a speech and news conference since a little after 11 o'clock announcing the Obama administration's approach to saving the banking system. Apparently, they will not require banks to lend. They will not fire the CEOs and not nationalize the banks. They will require transparency that was not required in the Bush administration's TARP I. They will provide incentives for banks to lend, and they will try to set up conditions to draw private investment to buy up a lot of toxic mortgage debts rather than just have the government do it. This seems to reflect a certain optimism about the state of the banking system and of the economy, and we'll talk about that after this first excerpt. And about the strong disagreements within the Obama administration about this approach, reported by the New York Times this morning, disagreements in which Geithner himself prevailed. So here is an excerpt from the Treasury Secretary's remarks just a few minutes ago, describing the challenge we face as he sees it.
Our challenge is much greater today because the American people have lost faith in the leaders of some of our financial institutions, and they are skeptical that their government has used taxpayers' money in ways that will benefit them. This has to change. To get credit flowing again, to restore confidence in our markets, and to restore the faith of the American people, we are going to fundamentally reshape our program to repair the financial system. Our work will be guided by the lessons of the last 18 months and by the lessons of financial crises throughout history. And the basic principles that will shape our strategy are the following. We believe that policy has to be comprehensive and forceful. There is more risk and greater cost in gradualism than there is in aggressive action. We believe that action has to be sustained until recovery is firmly established. In this country in the 1930s, in Japan in the 1990s, and in many cases elsewhere around the world, crises lasted longer and they caused greater damage because governments applied the brakes too early. We cannot make that mistake. We believe that access to public support is a privilege, not a right. When our government provides support to banks, it is not for the benefit of banks. It is for the businesses and families who depend on banks, and it's for the benefit of the country. Government support has to come with strong conditions to protect the taxpayer and with transparency that allows the American people to see the impact of those investments. We believe that our policies must be designed to mobilize and leverage private capital, not to supplant or discourage private capital. When government investment is necessary, it should be replaced with private capital as soon as that is possible. And we believe that the United States has to send a clear and consistent message that we will act to prevent the catastrophic failure of financial institutions that would damage the broader economy. Guided by these principles, we will replace the current program with a new financial stability plan designed to stabilize and repair the financial system and to support the flow of credit that is necessary for recovery. This new financial stability plan will take a comprehensive approach. The Department of the Treasury, the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and all the financial agencies in our country will bring the full force of the United States government to bear to strengthen our financial system so that we get the economy back on track. Now, these agencies each have different authorities, instruments, and responsibilities, but we are one government serving the American people, and we will work together as one. Now, here's what we will do. Our work begins with a new framework of oversight and governance on all aspects of our financial stability plan. The American people will be able to see where their tax dollars are going and the return on their government's investment. They will be able to see whether the conditions placed on banks are being met and enforced. They will be able to see whether boards of directors are being responsible with the taxpayer dollars and how they are compensating their executives. And they will be able to see how these actions are affecting the overall flow of lending and the cost of borrowing. These new requirements, which will be available on a new website, financialstability.gov, will give the American people the transparency they deserve. Now, these steps build on things we have already done. We have acted to ensure the integrity of the process that provides access to government support so that it is independent of influence from lobbyists and from politics. We've committed to provide the American people with the information on how their money is spent and under what conditions by posting these contracts on the Internet. And importantly, we've outlined some strong conditions on executive compensation.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, moments ago, addressing the problems in the banking system. He did not take questions from reporters, by the way, so it was really a speech, not a news conference. Diane Brady from Businessweek is with us now to break down the TARP II proposals, some of the economics and some of the politics. Hi, Diane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be here.
So no nationalization of the banks, no firing of CEOs, no requirements for banks to lend. Do I have all that right?
Yes, and if you want to feel good, you can go to financialstability.gov.
Right, but there is a lot in here. So let's talk about what he is proposing. He mentioned at the end of that clip, for example, an emphasis on oversight and transparency, including the actions of the boards of corporations receiving this money, where the money is going. This is actually very different from the Bush administration and TARP I right there, isn't it?
Yes. There's definitely some conditions, some strings attached here. I'm surprised there wasn't more of an emphasis on lending, since that really is the crux of the problem here, is getting that money into the economy. But what they have done is they're taking a much more concerted effort to get these assets, these toxic assets, off the balance sheets of the banks. That has been one of the biggest factors in why they're not lending money, is just this sense of insecurity they have about their own financial fate at this point. So there were a lot of provisions in there. A lot of them were expected. I think some of the biggest surprises is that it wasn't more punitive toward Wall Street, just given the public anger out there. But certainly this is a step. I don't think it's the final step, but it's a step in the right direction in terms of trying to kickstart the economy again from the side of the lending.
From the side of the lending, and also from the side of the private sector, because I gather from the New York Times article this morning, and maybe you can confirm this from your own reporting at Business Week, that there was a lot of disagreement within the highest echelons of the Obama administration as to whether to be more punitive, also whether to nationalize the banks, whether to base this plan more on government money than Geithner seems to be about to do. He mentioned in the clip we played the importance of private capital. So he really seems to be going his way on this and trying to set something up that, rather than using as many public dollars to bail out the banks and get the toxic assets, so-called, off their books, to set up a structure that's going to entice private capital to do a lot of the same thing. Am I getting that right?
Yes, and I think all you have to do is look at the rhetoric you've seen out of the Obama campaign just stretching back over several weeks to know that there would have been intense disagreement. There's been a lot of sense that they've wanted to really clamp down on the executives that they perceive got us into this mess. But Geithner comes from a Wall Street background. Also, he's very effective in looking back at history. You do look at Japan, you do look at the 30s. One of the big concerns here is creating these zombie banks. And you already talked to CEOs, and they're concerned. They're concerned that government is going to be partner, essentially, for the rest of our careers. And one thing that Geithner wants to do, that the Obama administration wants to do, is get in there, fix as much as they can with a rapid, huge influx of cash, and then as soon as possible, get out. The government is not the right party to be running the banking system in this country. The question is, how do you entice the private sector, because they've been frozen partly out of fear, partly out of opportunistic impulses, frankly. They're waiting to see how far people fall so they can go in and sort of pick over the carcass. So what the government has to do is basically set a floor, and that's when the private sector is going to come in and make some investments.
So what do you all think of Business Week? Can it work?
I think that this is the right, when we talk to people both in our Washington Bureau and here in New York, definitely a sense that they had to get those assets off the books. Foreclosure relief, which is a relatively small part of the plan, is also important because you really do need the consumer to have some comfort again and also to get those banks comfortable with the mortgages. Is it going to be enough? No. That when you look even at how the stock market has reacted today, GM today announcing another 10,000 layoffs, the economy is going down at a very rapid pace. I wouldn't be surprised if a few months from now we'll be looking at putting more money into the system.
But as I hear Geithner, I see a certain optimism in all this, a certain belief that the banking system and even the larger economy are not dead and we can inspire capital to flow again, more than many people say. Do you get that impression?
Yes, very much. In fact, I thought it was a very optimistic speech, and also the fact that they're renaming the plan. They're taking the whole word troubled asset out of there, and now it's becoming financial stability. So that alone probably helps to put us in a better mood. But I think there's a mix. There's optimism that the private sector is the one that's going to have to get us out of this, especially with regard to banking. Let's not forget, you know, there's the stimulus on the other side, which is supposed to be keeping creating jobs, helping the consumers. This is very much about private sector, helping the banks get some clarity about the environment, just helping to stabilize the situation so that we can get the lending flowing again. The fact that they're not going through and sort of doing a whole-scale replacement of CEOs and really clamping down on pay shows a real faith in the system, frankly, and a sense that we are all in it together and we have to work together to get out of it.
I wonder, then, if there's a big mixed message, in a way, coming from President Obama last night and his Treasury Secretary this morning. I want to play a clip of the president at that primetime news conference.
This is not your ordinary run-of-the-mill recession. We are going through the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We've lost now 3.6 million jobs, but what's perhaps even more disturbing is that almost half of that job loss has taken place over the last 3 months.
So he's talking in such stark terms. He used the stark terms to try to beat up on the Republicans last night, as you know, for not going along with the bill, because he keeps saying, you know, this is so big and we have to do something really big. At the same time, Geithner is coming in here and he's certainly proposing something big, big as in 12 zeros, meaning $1 trillion. But he's coming with this attitude of optimism. Is there a mixed message?
Somewhat of a mixed message, in part because they're playing to different constituencies here. One thing Geithner's trying to do is inspire some private sector involvement. In this, he's trying to basically get the wheels of business moving again. For Obama, I think part of the fear-mongering, in part, is to get the Republicans on board, certainly to get the American public to understand that this volume of money is needed, because you're seeing money go into places that people generally don't like. They don't like to see their neighbor getting a tax break that they don't get, for example. They're concerned about their jobs, but there's obviously just, you have to look at the intense fallout over even helping Detroit. So he's trying to both appease the public anger and just say this amount of stimulus is needed. Geithner wants to say, okay, we're going to fix the system, but it's not broken. So everyone, let's open the doors and get the lending going again, because that really is the biggest issue here.
And by the way, on how optimistic or pessimistic to be, we were just talking about that dynamic. You mentioned another 10,000 layoffs at GM. The Dow is down. I have a very tiny TV screen far away from me. More than 200 something, I think. But the big front page headline in the Wall Street Journal this morning is bond market in winter thaw. Cisco seizes on opening to raise $4 billion. Credit easing for best rated firms. So either something's happening or the Wall Street Journal is just being a cheerleader.
Well, I think what's happening is there is money out there and people have been waiting to spend it. I mean, one of the reasons the banks have not been giving loans, on the one hand, it's yes, they're unclear about their balance sheets, they're unclear about who's going to lose their job, but they've also been trying to wait on the sidelines to see where the opportunities are, if they can buy these assets at cheaper prices, mm-hmm. expand their market share. So I think there's a lot of money just been waiting for a good opportunity, and they've been trying to sense the bottom here. And I think that the bond market has shown some signs of thawing. You're also seeing, if you look on the global scale, there's actually a fair amount of growth still coming out of places like China, despite the dire news. So the system isn't collapsing. We're in a very severe downturn. I think Obama's stimulus plan, there's no question it's going to create a lot of jobs, and that's going to help. Whether we'll need more is another question. Whether mm-hmm. night will follow day, and we're going to have to be stuck with inflation and government being part of our economy in this way for years to come, we don't know yet. But right now, size and speed is the most important thing, and it's already starting to pay off. People are getting the sense that we're getting the action that we need to have, and that's creating some comfort for lending again.
We'll continue in a minute with Diane Brady from Business Week, and we can take your reactions to the TARP II plan being announced. I guess they don't call it TARP II, as Diane just said. They're calling it, what is it again?
Financial Stability Plan, I think, will be the new term.
I can just see the sun rising in the east. Your reactions at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. First reactions to Secretary Geithner's speech. And we'll play another clip, too, where he addresses helping people who are in foreclosure. Stay with us.
Now, we're exploring a range of different structures, and we'll seek input from the public as we design this program. But we believe this program should ultimately provide up to $1 trillion in financing capacity, but we plan to start it on a scale of about $500 billion, and we will expand it based on what works.
Trillion here, trillion there, from Secretary of the Treasury Tim Geithner. Here's what he had to say. This is about a 90-second clip on how to change the rules for dealing with people facing foreclosure. This is not technically a part of this plan, but he hints at what's coming down in a few days.
Now, finally, and this is critically important, we will launch a comprehensive housing program. Millions of Americans have lost their homes, and millions more live with the risk that they will be unable to meet their payments or refinance their mortgages. Many of these families borrowed beyond their means, but many others fell victim to terrible lending practices that left them exposed, overextended, and with no way to refinance. On top of that, homeowners around the country are seeing the value of their homes fall because of forces they did not create and cannot control. This crisis in housing has had devastating consequences, and our government should have moved more forcefully to help contain the damage. As housing prices fall, demand for housing will increase, and conditions will ultimately find a new balance, and you're seeing that happen in parts of the country today. But now we risk an intensifying spiral in which lenders foreclose, pushing house prices lower and reducing the value of household savings, making it harder for all families to refinance. The President has asked his economic team to come together with a comprehensive plan to address this crisis, and we will announce the details of this plan in the next few weeks.
So no details, Diane Brady from Business Week, but a strong indication that he will announce what a lot of Democrats have called for that the Bush administration wouldn't do, which is to allow courts to change the terms of mortgages over the objections of the lenders, correct?
Yes, I think that's been a very important component of this whole exercise, is the fact that you really need to get out there and address the continuing spiral in the housing market, because that's the basis on which these assets are valued. And frankly, this is what the taxpayers want to see. They're concerned, A, about jobs, and B, about the value of their homes. And allowing them to renegotiate loans that they really weren't even that familiar with in the first place in terms of the terms is a good move, because what you want is people to have some stability in their lives in part so they will get out there and start spending again.
Brian in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hello. I lived with a bankruptcy lawyer years ago, and the last time we had a bailout, he told me that when the government goes in and buys the bad assets, makes an institution solvent, and then sells it off to another bank, that basically this is socialism for the capitalists and then capitalism for the people because we end up paying the bill. So if we're going to create a toxic assets bank, then why don't we buy the institutions that we're bailing out, since I'd heard we've already given Citicorp more than the value of its stock, and then the government, just like the TVA, can use those as a benchmark by which to regulate other banks.
Yes, and a lot of people, thank you, Brian, are going to be asking that question today, Diane, obviously. Why are we still privatizing profit and socializing loss and not, you know, making sure the taxpayer has a stake in this now rather than the shareholders?
You know, it's an excellent question because I think that they've tried to address some of the public anger. They're trying to strike a balance here. The elements we've seen about pay and transparency, if you're going to have a spa vacation for everyone, you have to now disclose it. That helps a bit. But the fact that shareholders really aren't going to take a bath on this so far, the fact that we're seeing the people who allegedly got us into this mess continue in their senior roles, I think a lot of that is going to make people angry. But the other side of it is, what's most important here is we can't really be placing blame at this point. We just have to get these banks working again. And the most important thing is to get those assets off. And I also would point out, in the past, the savings and loan crisis, even, you know, the Depression, the taxpayer ultimately did recoup the money on that. It took a long time. But the feeling is they're trying to put in place a structure where the taxpayer may not recover all the money that goes in, but will certainly recover some, and they're hoping a major amount.
Rosemary in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, good morning. You know, my question is, why doesn't Sheila Bair go in?
Head of the FDIC.
Because it is her role. And value all of these questionable assets. Why don't we actually shed some light on what is there to give everyone more confidence about going forward? I mean, we have a situation where we have the same old managers. I mean, this is coming off of what you've just said. Mm-hmm. The same old practices, no clean audits. And, you know, my fear as a taxpayer is that the banks will, you know, have the same old behaviors. Yeah. I wasn't the least bit thrilled by the front page of the New York Times this morning hearing that Geithner continues to sort of support these people in continuing to say, you know, that there's a limit to how much we can limit their compensation.
Rosemary, I have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time in a minute. But if there was disagreement within the administration, do you think, Diane Brady, that this was between Geithner and Sheila Bair at the FDIC? She has been so tough on these
banks.
She
has. I wouldn't be surprised if Bair, and certainly David Axelrod of the Obama team also has been very vocal on this. I do think there's intense disagreement, in part because they're very aware of public anger. But what Geithner could do was point to history. You look at Japan, a full loss. You want to see a lost decade, go look at Japan. And the feeling is they want to get us out of this as quickly as possible. And you can certainly play on the fears of people by looking to history and saying, when the government has stepped in too far and taken over, it hasn't worked.
So are they not, however, in our last 20 seconds, doing exactly what Rosemary suggests, which is going in and auditing? Is that the transparency that we heard Geithner insist on in the first clip?
That's one element. That one thing they're trying to do with these private sector partnerships is bring in asset managers to help value these bad assets. Nobody knows what they're worth, in part because they're deteriorating by the day. So there's a lot of factors into what these assets are actually worth. Right. What we do know is they're not worth nothing.
And then they'll see if they can entice private money to come in and set a market floor. Diane Brady, Senior Editor for Business Week, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our coverage of the speech by the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.